Hi, this is Lucy, Lauren, Helena, Casey and Lucy, here to host a discussion about three of the most prolific figures in Renaissance medicine, Andreas Vesalius, Ambrose Paré and William Harvey.
Hopefully, by the end of this 10 minutes, you'll have some fresh ideas about how you judge significance in the curriculum, how to think critically about these figures and how to challenge Eurocentrism with the latest historiography on Islamic contemporaries.
We have broken this session down into roughly three sections. First, we'll tackle the content of these figures' discoveries. Secondly, the implications on scientific methodology that these discoveries had. And finally, we will be closing off with their wider social impact.
And with that, we'll introduce the first prompt. What did these people actually do?
Paré was most famous for his 1536 discovery in the treatment of gunshot wounds, when he ran out of hot oil for the treatment of these wounds while serving as an army doctor. Instead, he used a mixture of egg yolk, rose oil and turpentine, and he found that those treated with this mixture recovered better than those treated with the oil, and that these patients experienced significantly less pain. He also researched phantom limb pain in 1551, discovering that this pain originated in the brain, which prompted further research on the topic. Finally, he improved the treatment of amputations. Previously, amputation wounds were cauterized, but Paré invented the method of tying off these vessels with ligatures.
Vesalius made a few discoveries that proved Galen wrong, including how the jawbone was made of one bone and not two, and also that blood did not pass through the septum. He made these discoveries through human dissections on criminals that had not been done before him in Europe, and prompted others to question Galen with his book, The Fabric of the Human Body.
Harvey is famous for his discovery that blood flowed in one direction around the body and that this was due to valves preventing the backflow of blood. He proved that blood was being continually pumped around the body rather than being consumed by the muscles and reproduced by the liver, as had previously been taught by Galen.
So, moving forwards, how did the discoveries influence scientific methodology?
Through his research, Paré advocated for more gentle methods in surgery to reduce pain for the patient and also to reduce damage to the surrounding areas, both of which improved patient outcomes from surgery. This can be seen as one of the earliest examples of evidence-based medicine. However, his work on ligatures does not have the same successes as it increased infection risks for patients treated with this method.
Vesalius made his discovery through the dissection of human bodies, and he started doing this by stealing bodies to dissect, then later began dissecting the bodies of criminals, and by doing this, he was able to make his discoveries and learn more about the anatomy of the human body rather than taking the anatomy of an animal and applying it to humans, as done by people such as Galen.
Due to strict religious beliefs about human dissection, Harvey studied a range of animals, particularly frogs, which were cold-blooded and therefore had a slower circulatory system. This allowed him to observe the flow of blood, and he also used tourniquets, which allowed him to demonstrate the unidirectional flow of blood through the veins. Harvey promoted the principle of experimentation through his work, encouraging later scientists to make further discoveries through the means of scientific methods, like observation and demonstration.
As well as the impact of these discoveries on the practice of science, how did they impact society?
Paré advocating for evidence-based medicine is crucial as it is a technique that is still patent today, underpinning a lot of scientific research. His work on phantom limb pain can also be seen as a significant stepping stone into the creation of neurology into the discipline it is seen as today, as it showed the impact the brain can have on the perception of the human experience.
Vesalius's work had an impact on society in more ways than one. The first being that through publishing his book with the first accurate drawings of the human body, he helped other scientists and anatomists make new discoveries by having accurate knowledge with the help of the printing press, which allowed his work to be published rapidly and in different languages. The second way is due to how controversial his work was in his time, as his method of stealing bodies and dissecting them was seen as blasphemous by the church, which still had huge influence on medical science in this period. This added insult to injury, as he was already under fire for his work in questioning Galen's discoveries.
Harvey's discovery on the circulation of blood had a rather delayed impact on society because many people opposed his methods and challenging of church teachings. For example, doctors continued to administer bloodletting despite Harvey showing the reasons for this treatment were incorrect. However, In the long term, Harvey's discovery has led to the discovery of blood groups by Karl Landsteiner in 1901, and later successful blood transfusions, revolutionising the range of treatments that are available for patients.
Adding to the current curriculum, there has also been more recent discussion amongst historians about these figures, particularly Vesalius and Harvey.
Recent work on Paré has shown that his work was a very early precursor for minimally invasive surgery, and his work in the battlefield led to him concluding that gunpowder was not toxic and therefore did not need cauterization with hot oil to heal.
And amongst recent historiography for Vesalius, it's not so much the content of his discoveries historians have become increasingly interested in, but rather the impact of his methodology and the extent to which we can interrogate significance. In fact, recent articles are eager to point out Vesalius' flaws in reverting to Galenic models of anatomy, possibly more than they are interested in the advancements he'd made moving away from them.
The general consensus amongst modern historians is that Harvey's discovery was the genesis of modern cardiovascular physiology and has been considered to be one of the most significant developments in medicine. Modern clinical tests, operations, and managements for different circulatory conditions have all evolved from Harvey's work.
Alongside new historiography on these well-researched topics, we have also found examples of equally significant discoveries in less represented areas, such as Islamic medical discoveries.
Islamic medical figures have tended to be overlooked, and this Eurocentric view has prevented the full history of anatomical development from being understood.
Although there was much debate between Islamic physicians on whether dissection should be performed, autopsy dissections were eventually approved by the highest Islamic commissions, allowing some scholars to dissect human bodies with government support.
This discussion of allowing dissections links back to Vesalius' work and the controversy around his own dissection of human bodies and how it led to his firing from the University of Padua in Italy. It would appear the dissections became approved in Islamic medicine prior to Vesalius' work, showing that Islamic methods of medicine were more advanced and progressive than those in Europe.
Al-Sawari was considered to be the father of modern surgery. His encyclopedia described operations and interventions for conditions such as varicose veins, skull fractures, teeth removal, and forceps deliveries. From the 12th century to the 17th century, this book was used by medical students in most European universities, and many of his methods are still used in modern medical practices.
Before Harvey discovered the circulation of blood, two Islamic scholars wrote detailed descriptions of circulation. In his book, Al-Akawani Bukhari described the structure of the heart in detail and managed to differentiate between the arteries and the veins. He also described the process of pulmonary circulation accurately, although he does mention the existence of pores in the heart's septum, showing that Galenic ideas were present abroad and not just influential in Europe.
Ibn al-Nafi's book contradicted Galen's idea of blood circulation and gave an accurate description of circulation. He also disagreed with Galen's suggestion that blood travelled through pores in the heart. This is one of many examples of medical progression happening outside of the Western world in the Renaissance era, which is important contextually when looking at these key Western figures.
We have used the example of Islamic medical discoveries to provide evidence of medical progression outside of Europe and expand on what the curriculum in schools teaches. We can see here that many of the key medical progressions, such as performing dissections and the revelation of blood circulation that are taught in the English curriculum, were actually occurring in the Islamic world at the same time, if not earlier. This shows that these findings were not just the work of one great individual, but of multiple people around the world.
In this podcast, we have explored the role played by these three figures in Renaissance medicine and the impact that they have left on the world today. Each of these individuals have looked beyond the established norm of their time to inquire into the subjects they felt passionate about, and that was under research by those who came before them. They show us how important it is to go against the grain and explore beyond what has been provided to them. We believe this is equally as important in today's society, and therefore urge students and teachers alike to explore beyond the curriculum in both this module and others. As explained, each individual made significant contributions to medical progression. However, who you judge to be the most significant is up to you and highly dependent on your criteria of significance.
So thank you for joining us today on this journey through Renaissance medicine and its key figures. We have looked at Harvey, Vesalius and Paré and the impact these icons had on the world around them and the progression of medicine to this day.
For all of the teachers that have joined us today, we have created an interactive worksheet that can be used in your classroom that can help strengthen your students' knowledge of these key figures. We also hope we have inspired you to encourage your students to look beyond the curriculum and diversify their knowledge.
All the sources we have used in this podcast and some further reading are linked below in our bibliography. Thank you for listening.